Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 29th of May. We're almost at the end of the month, and when the new month begins, June will be on a fun drive.
Yay.
We remind you of that, in case you haven't noticed. We will talk more about that in a moment. Good morning. Welcome. Let me introduce our panel to you. I'll tell you how you can be a part of the program, and then we will get to the business at hand. Alan Chartok is in the building. Good morning, sir.
But barely. I had to go to the emergency room because I got stuck by a thorn yesterday, and I couldn't move my finger, so I went to the emergency room.
What kind of thorn?
A rose thorn.
A rose thorn.
Have you all read The Little Prince, The Petit Prince? Yeah. About the rose bush? Remember the rose? They can strike back.
Well, you think of the, what is it, the lion with the...
Right,
the lion and the thorn.
It's been pulled. You're all right?
Well, so far. I'll just sit in the dark.
You'll be resting up this
weekend.
Were
you going to sit in the dark? Okay, fine. With that hat on, you are
no
sitting
infection.
In the dark.
Not that we know about at this moment.
Not yet. Okay, fine.
You could either get an antibiotic thing, which I don't like to give out, or you can get a fungal thing. Because this thing can be a fungus, and then you could be dead.
No, we wouldn't want that to happen.
My big mistake is I looked it up in the middle of the night on the internet.
And then you die.
That is one of the dangers. Now when you have any kind of ailment at all, you can Google it.
Right. And then
get terrified.
And self-diagnose.
And it turns out, by the way, that for once, they were exactly right, which is why I went to the ER.
You did the right thing.
All right. What's ailing you, Mike Spain, associate editor of the Times Union?
Nothing I can report. Happy to be here on a beautiful blue sky day.
It is a gorgeous
sunny
day.
Blue sky day.
Nothing that I want to report to you people. Anyway,
I got this pain. No.
And Libby Post is with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you both again for filling in all week and being here and being our rocks. We
appreciate
couldn't
it. Think of any place else to be, right,
Mike? At 9 a.m.
Right.
On a weekday morning.
Yes.
Actually, tomorrow at Uncommon Grounds, Mike and Libby will just be talking about the issues from 9 to 10.
Yeah, no, but yeah, that's okay. There. Yeah, I'll be somewhere else, but that's all right.
Actually, Joe, you missed, because you were out for a day or two, you missed Libby making a pronouncement that was really extraordinary.
Rex told Alan about my speech at the Rockefeller College Awards.
Yes.
Which I think I might have conveyed to you.
Yes.
And he just found out about it yesterday, and not scandalized per se, but lightly amused.
Okay.
Because, do you want me to say it again?
Sure,
is that
say
what
it again.
Okay. When I got up to accept my award, I talked about how long I'd known Alan, and he was my professor, and that Alan takes credit for everything that I am today, to which my response always is, yes, Alan, because of you, I'm a lesbian. And it brought down the house, as I said yesterday, and it was a lot of fun.
That's
so
great.
You missed that part.
Yeah, you missed
Joe.
That yesterday.
Yes.
It was great.
It is great.
Well, congratulations.
Well,
yes,
thanks.
Congratulations again.
Milk
this for as long as
you
can. Yeah,
I'm not milking it. I didn't say a word. It was Rex and Alan, and I'm like over it. I've got things to do.
So. All right.
But thank you all for your kind words and salutations.
All right. Good morning. Welcome. Let's get to the business at hand. Oh, a reminder, if you want to get in, just think about this. You know, look. Hundreds of thousands of dollars are going to come in over the weekend, and we probably won't even have a fun drive on Monday. But if we do,
we're going to have a fun drive.
It's going to
and right now we're scared to death about just making the
lockbox. We gave last night.
Did you last night? That's good. Did you make up the difference?
Well, we gave 150. So.
I didn't ask you how
well,
much.
Well, I'm telling everybody out there what they should be looking
set
at.
Set the bar.
To do. Set the bar.
I see. So anyway. Oh, no. Go ahead, Joe. Say something. No,
someone calling in with a pledge.
Yeah, that's right. They're calling in right now
no,
with a pledge. I think it's Alan's doctor
We're all
making
turning
sure
our
his
phones off as
his finger is okay.
I just did that. I just turned it off.
And his finger just fell off, too.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I hear when your finger falls off.
Yeah. Okay, next.
Here we go. you can join in our conversation, and by God, don't you want to? roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and let's begin. We'll start with our crooked politician alert.
Of the day.
That's right.
Of the minute.
So former House Speaker Dennis Hastert has been indicted. He has been charged, with lying to the FBI, making cash withdrawals from banks in a way that was designed to hide that he was paying $3.5 million to someone for his misconduct from years ago, according to the federal indictment released on Thursday.
Ooh.
The longest-serving Republican speaker had worked as a lobbyist since leaving office. The indictment, announced by the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, said Mr. Hastert, who was once a high school teacher and wrestling coach in Yorkville, Illinois, had so far paid $1.7 million to the person who had lived in Yorkville and had been known, had known Mr. Hastert for most of his or her life. Mr. Hastert worked in Yorkville from 1965 to 1981. Lying, corruption, money, cash. You would think it was soccer.
Right. It is important to remember that this indictment alleges that this happened since 2010, long after he left office. So this is not governmental corruption. This is somebody who made a lot of money as a lobbyist, paying off somebody hush money or something.
Yeah. That's so, what I find so fascinating.
Sure.
He was a history teacher and soccer wrestling
he was coach. He was coach.
Coach for a, you know, a regular old school district, and he has now the reserves that he needs to be able to pay off a $3.5 million.
Well, he was paying it off a little at a time.
But still, it's the ability to be able to do that, from high school history teacher to congressman to lobbyist. 3.5 is something that I can do.
But we don't even, we have no real idea what it was, but it had to be obviously serious, right?
One would think.
I mean, it would sound at that rate of pay.
Yeah.
But of course, Libby, you do touch on something that's very important, and that is, they're all doing it now, which is they all become lobbyists.
Right.
And in fact, many of them never, ever go home to their districts because they've set up their families there.
Yes.
One of their families. Hey, that happens with everybody. Newspaper. I've seen it happen with newspaper guys. And
it happens.
Yeah, it happens. It's what happens.
Not good,
of course, three quarters of America is now scratching their heads and saying,
What
could this Hastert been up to?
Right.
Well, it certainly suggests, the way it's worded, that this individual...
Got it?
He or she was being paid $3.5 million gradually. It sounds like hush money. Or an out-of-court settlement for some misconduct done by the former speaker...
Or a love child.
...many years ago.
Who it needs could be, money.
Or a love child.
Well, misconduct is what the term is. Now, I don't know if a love child is...
Well, if he was married at the time to another woman, one would think
yes. It seems like the recipient of the money was the person who had the misconduct performed against them.
Right, whatever that might be.
It would appear so. And what's interesting is how the government is protecting. You know, I mean, this does seem to be, sort of a two-way street between some of the major papers like the Times and the Justice Department. And so it would be interesting to know, what this person has done to deserve the protection.
What I love is that he's being tripped up by the own bill that he shepherded through, which is part of the Patriot Act, around how money gets tracked.
Sure.
And, I just think it's, your grand comeuppance.
And he's not the first one,
nope.
by the way,
nope.
who has done this. And so does anybody understand exactly what it is? If a certain amount of money is moved.
Banks are required to report cash withdrawals of more than $10,000. And they questioned Hastert back in 2012 about a couple of $50,000 cash withdrawals, and he lied, according to the indictment.
And that's the one thing you don't want to do.
Right.
You don't want to lie to the FBI. Because isn't the deputy minority leader and the majority leader in the Senate, isn't that how they got it? Isn't that the allegation there that he lied to the FBI also?
Right. It's like whether you did something that you could go to jail for or not, lying about whether you did it gets you in more trouble.
So what do you do when they come and they say,
Well, in this case,
I have a question for you. You go.
No, you tell the truth and then hope that it doesn't get picked up by the newspapers. I mean, that's the issue, is you tell the truth and then what happens to that information?
Of course, there is such a thing we understand about, you know, paying taxes on certain amounts of money. Right. And interestingly, he said, according to the material that Joe distributed to us, he did say that he was using the cash himself.
Right, which would avoid having to pay, or the recipient of this money having to pay any income taxes. Because if I wrote you a check for $3.5 million, you'd have to pay income taxes on it in most situations.
Indeed,
so
I would.
This could be regarded as a tax avoidance scheme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He now, now faces 5 years in jail for each, in prison for each charge, as well as a $250,000 fine.
He's not getting 5 years in jail.
No, he'll pay $1 million and it'll all go away.
Well, there are other politicians who have lied to the FBI and who, or whose money has been, you know, they trace them because of the money. And the fact is, you know, these things can be resolved.
Yeah, Tom DeLay never went to jail, did he?
I don't think so.
I think he ever spent any time in jail.
Yeah.
But it, getting back to the original part, I think it really illustrates how former elected officials really cash in when they get out of office on the connections they made while they were in office. Yeah. Just think how rich you'd be, Libby, if you had held office before you became a lobbyist.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how it is. I would have been able to retire if I'd stayed in the assembly already. I started in 84. I could have retired last year with 30 years in. And there are some people in my life who would be really happy about that.
I'm sure. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. It is our Friday panel, our pre-fund drive panel for this time. The fund drive begins on Monday. So we'll be away for a little while next week, hopefully not for too long.
Boo-hoo.
That's really on you all, isn't it? That's up to you guys. So we'll see how it goes. But we welcome your comments for today and the topics that we're discussing. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, do you have a letter or two that you'd like to read us?
I think there's something here. Bob says, according to one article, the misconduct occurred against an individual back in York, the town where Mr. Hassert once taught. Rich says, Pfeiffer, the old Speaker of the House, are not alone in their crookedness. Wearing a wire should be mandatory practice in nailing crooks. There are no doubt many more to expose. And I guess that's it.
One of the guys from Abscam just died.
Yes, Murphy.
Yeah.
Murphy.
Oh, Congressman Murphy. Yeah. Congressman Murphy from New Jersey.
Staten Island.
Oh, from New York.
Staten Island. Don't even get me started on Abscam because it was one of the most disgraceful things that has ever been done by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. What they did was they tempted people. They made crimes happen. They brought them into rooms and they offered them money. And they said, if you take the money, you know, and then on the way out, they
it's where
them.
Entrapment really got
by the
matured.
Way, I think both houses of Congress had to be assured they would never do that again. And they haven't. But a lot of good people went to jail.
John Murphy, the New York congressman, died at 88 years old. All right. Do you have nothing else there, Alan? We're good?
Yeah, there is. People. Hastert, a wrestling coach, and you can't make a little guess as to why he was being blackmailed? Ha!
Well, not done yet.
Whatever the hidden skeleton in his closet, for that kind of hush money, it was certainly jailable. Thanks for the show, Pete. But the point really is, if you think about it, we all, of course, can add up one and one and make two, but we would never do that. It wouldn't be right. I just saw the culprit do something through the door. I saw him do it. As you probably know, there is a major bone of contention between me and Ray Graff.
All right.
And it has to do
with...
You have
15 seconds, but go
ahead. Has to do with the heat in this place. And I just saw him sneak by and lower the heat so it'll be sub-zero before we know it.
You could hang meat in this place where we are.
Yeah, like Rocky.
That's right. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. and we'll get on. We'll move on to other subjects. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
burr.
You. Yeah. Burr. We'll be right back. Enjoying the musical selections this morning. Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 48 years old today. Born in the same year.
Children.
Yes. mere children. Good morning. Welcome back to our program and our discussion this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. WAMC.org. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok is here. Mike Spain. Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us go to...
One thing, Joe, if I may.
Oh, yeah, cool.
There's a very major letter here. First contribution.
A very major?
Yeah, a very major.
Okay.
It's a major, major letter. Dear Roundtable, just made my first contribution to the Lockbox, pledging $100. Here comes my crank radio. Thank you for the intellectual conversation. That's a very nice letter.
Thank you.
And boy,
so
do we ever need it, because as you probably know, we need 375,000 to get the extra $17,500 from First Niagara Bank and from Mr. Big, and we have raised $343,185. Which means, Joe, that yeah. we are in some trouble. I mean, we've done very well. We came from out of nowhere to get this high, but it would be terrible if we lost it now. So,
so it's about $28,000 that we need to collect over the weekend.
Oh, that's
right?
A lot.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be here to yell about it either. So, and by 6 o'clock on Monday morning, it has to be done.
And you can yell.
$28,000. That's a lot of money. Mike, have you got any little spare change?
Yeah, let me just check my wallet.
Because we know if there's money to be had, journalists.
Right.
Right.
Wealthy
guys
journalists.
I'm telling you. You
right.
really hold the key to
now,
the
we
kingdom.
Should talk to people like lobbyists, former politician lobbyists.
Yes.
Not lobbyists who never held office and were able to build giant networks of cash.
Well, they do too. Not yes. me, but other ones.
Let us let's move on and let's talk about more corruption. I know you guys have been talking about this. I find it a fascinating story. I have not had the great honor of saying the word Sepp Blatter on the program yet.
That's so, Blatter.
Blatter.
Okay, yeah.
Blatter.
Right, not as in bladder.
No, that's D. This is T.
Blatter. Yeah, well,
blatter.
You never know around here. So I know one person who continues to tell me that the word is button. I'm going to push the button now. You know, so the D's and the T's can sometimes get indistinguishable.
Sepp Blatter.
I want to know what his first name really is.
I can probably find that out in a few moments. He's 79 years old. He... on Thursday, in his first public comments since the scandal became public, used a speech opening FIFA's annual Congress to deflect responsibility for their problems and simultaneously suggest that he was willing and able to solve them. These are huge problems, he says, and I'm the guy who can do it.
Yeah, he's the guy who's presided over this hellish
right.
situation, and now he's saying, I'm the guy who can reform it,
yeah,
and they're
going to
vote
so.
For him.
And I think we should reiterate what the allegations are in the U.S. court the indictment against these members of the board, that they accepted bribes up to $1.5 million each to sway or to vote in favor of where the World Cup, which is a huge billion-dollar, it's Olympic-like scale sporting event that countries lobby for, just like they do for the Olympics, and there's millions and billions in advertising related to it and lots of money to be made. So these indictments accuse these fellows of basically selling their votes for up to $1.5 million.
Now, Mike, who are these fellas? These fellas are all the vice presidents.
That's right, from all over the world. They are an international bunch.
And Mr. Blatter?
209 members of the Federation.
He can't monitor everyone all the time, he said.
What did he think was going on? Did he think everybody was acting for the betterment of the sport while they're driving around and building houses and doing whatever it is they're doing with all that money being exchanged in dark corners and meeting rooms? I mean,
One could sort of expect that, he's sort of...
out of it.
Well, or full of it.
one or the other.
Which is why, you dare use my line, Joe, which is why, as a kid growing up, I am sure his nickname was, go ahead.
I don't know where you're going.
Full bladder.
Wow.
Well, it's sept bladder because he's a septuagenarian, and when he becomes 80, it'll be oct bladder.
Well, I think the...
Thank you, Mike.
I think the suspicions were roused when this board of vice presidents voted to put the World Cup in Qatar in 2022. They're in Russia in 2018, and some people suspected some foul play there. But when they went to a country where during the summer when the World Cup will take place, it's going to be like 120 degrees on some days, that is questionable. How they could beat out some other countries.
The other part of this is that if he was so clueless as to what was going on in his own organization, he doesn't deserve to be the president of the organization. The buck stops somewhere, and it stops with him.
Well, what I wonder is, with the time change, has it happened yet? I mean, it should be happening very soon.
Because the BBC just said it, so I'm not exactly sure what the timing is, but it hasn't happened yet. Here's my question, which I haven't really been able to find anywhere in the articles that I've looked at. There's one challenger. He's expected to handily beat the other guy. Would it not be prudent? What is stopping the governing body as a whole just to say, all right,
let's put the pause button on.
Yeah, let's just hold this and see what happens.
Oh, I know the answer to your question.
Okay,
how come? I'm going to answer it Talmudically with another question.
Yes,
okay? Right.
Okay, how come the state legislature doesn't vote for ethics reform, meaningful ethics reform? So, in other words, answering your question is, how come they don't just rise up and say, you know, we all have a vote? No, I mean, that's the existing culture.
But shouldn't, is there not some sort of, I don't know.
Mechanism to just take a breather
to
on
hold,
this?
I mean, is it legislated in some way that it has to be today? Or can they just say, all right.
Well, the Europeans who are at odds, you know, the European Soccer Federation, which has been at odds with FIFA, which is the worldwide group here, have been calling for a delay, and they're threatening to pull out of it, and that could mess up the whole World Cup events for future if Europe were not to be an active participant. And that's a big threat. That who could think of the World Cup without, you know, Germany and Spain and the UK being involved, and that's where soccer began, you know, in Europe and in the UK. So it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting day in Switzerland as this all plays out.
But when the guy gets up and you know, talks for unity and says that we're going to be true, that's hard. It's hard not to laugh, isn't it?
It is hard not to laugh. And what I find interesting is that, yes, we're in Switzerland, and even the Swiss authorities, are doing some criminal investigation. The place where you could put all your money forever and never be questioned. And
well, it used to be anyway.
Not so much no more.
But it's like, come on, folks. You know, if this was to happen to any not-for-profit in the United States, the executive director of that not-for-profit would be
out. On a leave of absence or something.
They would be out.
Yeah.
Absolutely out, because that person is ultimately responsible. He's the president of this organization.
Now you got me worried.
You are ultimately responsible for... Well, no, Alan, we know the money stays in the lockbox.
It does.
Okay?
Yeah,
but whoever... this is just good governance. This is about how organizations work. All of his vice presidents have been brought up on charges. He knew what was going on. How could he not?
Well, here's my favorite line.
And if he doesn't, he doesn't deserve to be president.
My favorite line out of all of what he said yesterday, my favorite line is, you can't ask everyone to behave ethically just like that.
Why not?
How dare you?
Why haven't...
How do you expect somebody to just turn ethically?
Okay, the question is, why hasn't there been ethical behavior within this organization from the start?
There you go.
Okay, so that's the Talmudic response to that.
All right. Anybody want
to? Hillel would be having turning over in his grave.
Okay, so how do we think this is? We just think he's just going to be reelected, and then explode,
he's gonna
right?
He's going to be reelected. Richard Nixon. We had had Watergate.
Yeah, right, and he was.
We had had Watergate. We knew about Watergate. It had happened, and he was overwhelmingly elected.
Right.
Happens.
So we will find out more as we go on today. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about our other stories. We have some other interesting topics to discuss. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. Let's go over to some letters and then we'll finish up with our topics. We'll also get a locked box update.
You remember I told the story about the thorn? Remember
yes,
that? The rose thorn?
Yes, sir.
Alan, here on the farm, we employ these very cool tools we call gloves. Sea Glovers.
Point well made.
Sea Gloversville. E-room visit. Okay, and then he talks about how much it is. Sorry, okay, and then let's see here. There's always one like that. And okay, and that I think is it, Joe. I don't see anything else. Do you?
Yeah.
What? What's the name on it?
We have Roger and Pete and Ken.
I didn't get those.
Or
interesting.
James.
Interesting. Let me go look and see. This is very bad that we don't. I don't have those on my thing. So I'll go to my other device. Okay. Okay. So Roger and Pete. No.
This would be around 9:30, 9:27 to 9:30. In that ballpark?
No. Not there. So you'll read it, okay?
Go ahead. Jim in Montgomery. Money given not as compensation for anything could be considered a gift, so the onus of taxes would fall on the giver, not the recipient. You did that one?
No, I saw it.
Oh,
good point.
According to IRS rules, so this would certainly be a tax avoidance issue for Hastert, for Allen. But he that dares not grasp the thorn should never crave the rose.
I believe that comes from The Little Prince. I believe so.
There you go.
And the question then becomes, you mean to say, I don't fully understand, and I'm not an accountant, obviously, but if somebody comes in and gives me $1 million,
personal
gives it
gift,
to me.
Yeah.
It's a personal gift. I don't have to declare that?
Yes, you do.
Of course.
Right, but what the IRS wants is for me, the giver, to set aside a portion of that before I give it to you. To do a little, like your paycheck, you know, to do a withdrawal or a deduction for the IRS so they get it up front.
Yes, or
yes,
you have to claim it.
But nevertheless, many criminals have gone to jail for ill-begotten gains in which they do not declare.
Right. That's how they got Al Capone.
Exactly. That's how they got him.
Tax evasion.
John says, hi all, Blatter knew nothing about the bridge closings.
Good point.
Which I think is funny. Yes, okay. Roger says that questions about the source of the wealth of Hastert of Illinois and equal opportunity corruption state along with New York could surely be matched by inquiries into the late President Johnson's Austin TV holdings, among his other assets, and Senator Reid's net worth. The latter two are lifetime politicians, I believe. Says Roger.
You're allowed to have outside holdings while you serve in Congress. You just can't be active in them. You can put them into a trust. But you can't actively be a part of a business.
I mean, and as I said yesterday, the downside on that rule is that millionaires can be in Congress and others cannot, who cannot
afford
to make to have
the $179,000 base pay that a congressperson gets plus all kinds of extras.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
You know, we have a wonderful news operation here that people are very supportive of, and I know we'll hear a lot about it during the fund drive. But let us not forget our colleagues of the Times Union who rose to the occasion and sent a reporter to New Hampshire to cover the announcement of George Pataki running for president. And I just, yay to you.
You admire that.
And to the reporter.
Your dogged determination.
Good for them. That is good to get to the bottom of that story.
We did send Matthew Hamilton up to Exeter, New Hampshire for the big announcement yesterday. And
what big announcement?
Yes. Well, that's exactly right.
Quinnipiac
yesterday.
That was released yesterday, the day that George Pataki, the three-term governor of New York, who was governor during the 9/11 crisis and defeated a well-known, nationally popular liberal, Mario Cuomo, to become governor and surprised everybody. He is not even on the Quinnipiac University poll that was released.
He comes up with zero.
Yes,
below
1%.
Below 1%.
Actually, Jeb Bush, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Marco Rubio, Scott Walker all get 10%. And then it goes down after that where Carly Fiorina has 2%, and Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, who hasn't declared yet, has he?
No.
Or has he?
No.
Yeah.
I don't believe
1%.
So.
And Chris Christie in neighboring New Jersey is 4%, speaking of bridges. And so that does identify the challenge that the former New York governor has before him. But he's taken a populist approach. He's attacking no other Republicans. He's attacking the Democrat candidate, Hillary Clinton, the likely Democratic candidate. And he's, portraying his conservative side, even though he's had some liberal positions while he was in New York. So
yeah, but I have a couple of things about that. One, Mike, even NPR this morning had a sort of jocularity about his entrance into the race. I said, come on, the two of them were talking and said, come on, the guy who was governor of New York.
Really?
3 years, yeah, right.
Right.
Okay, and then there are so many more things. The New York Times today, almost inexplicably to me, far be it from me to criticize the New York Times, had no fewer than four articles about Pataki coming into the race. Now, I suspect the reason for that is because they want to support somebody who is moderate like themselves.
I don't know if it's support. I mean, if you're a New York newspaper, he is a three-time governor. I think it's important for you to cover your guy in the race.
Four articles?
I don't know. They had probably triple that for Bernie Sanders over the last week and a half.
No, but not on one day. Not on one day.
Well, I don't know, on the announcement day.
A lot of that has to do with timing, of course.
I'm so sorry. You're always defending the journalistic profession.
I'm sorry.
And the big fight I have with your associate, your boss, Rex, always is, I say the news blends in somehow. You can make editorial decisions just by picking the news that you're going to cover. That's what I always say.
I really want to just turn this conversation, before we turn it over to Megan to tell us about the lockbox, that Larry Sabato, great pundit, and he's at the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Here's what he had to say yesterday to us.
A studio in his house.
Pataki.
I love that.
He's fallen into complete obscurity, he says of Pataki. Almost no one knows who he is. He was prominent. He wasn't prominent even when he was governor. He's the least visible figure of 9/11.
He says, by the way, is one of the things that he did that's on his side, that he led us through 9/11. However, you will remember.
Let's see what Rudy Giuliani does, because it was really Rudy Giuliani who was seen as the governor, the mayor, the president of everything.
And the mayor of the United States. Yeah.
Right,
yes,
the mayor of the United States.
The then New York gubernatorial primary candidate, Andrew Cuomo, back in 2002 or so, was saying that Governor Pataki held the coat.
He got into a little trouble for that.
Anyways, Joe?
Thank you, Mike. That's actually quite fascinating. Let us go to a quick update on our lockbox, and then we'll try to get another topic or two in before we adjourn for the weekend and a fun drive. Megan Finnegan is here to tell us what is going on. Megan, give us great, great news.
Yeah, something we don't know.
I'm here with the great news. I actually, when I left my desk, we were at 344,716, but actually checking the website now, I see there's a few pledges that were made while I was in transit.
And how much, somebody wanted to know, and I just sent you, if they're sustaining members, meaning $25 a month, does that count towards the entire
thing? The way that the sustaining membership works is the entire contribution counts towards the next lockbox that's you know, for the next fund drive. So if you make a $300, say, sustaining membership now, all $300 counts, and then it's being paid off throughout the year.
Yeah.
So that's the way the sustaining works.
Yeah. So that $300 doesn't count for now?
It counts right now. Yeah.
Oh, right now.
So if you make it now, it gets counted in the pre-.
Yeah. And actually, we've had tons of people signing up as sustainers. Our numbers are really jumping up. It's great.
That's fantastic. So how much do we have to go before 6 o'clock on Monday morning?
Well, we have just over $30,000 to go.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
$10,000.
Oh, boy.
That's 10. I think we can do it. I'm really feeling
very
positive.
You've been, look, the amount that you've had to raise per day has steadily
gone down. Yep.
Which shows that you are on the right side of the
trend. But the horse may lose.
Yeah, Alan, you need to be positive.
All right.
Well, we started the race early, but
I'm very
worried. Like we're going to have a strong finish.
Okay. Well, we all look forward to a strong finish and walking in. So if all goes well, if my math is correct, if all goes well, we make the challenge, that would be 300 and...
Well, we need to get 375.
Right, 375, and then you get the 17,000.
392.5.
392.5.
Yep.
There you go. All right.
4 days off the fun drive.
Make
almost.
It so. And now we make it so.
Make it so.
Megan Finnegan, thank you very much.
Very quickly, from Fran. I've been a WAMC listener for 30 years and a member for only 3. I now pledge with pride of some degree of redemption for being a deadbeat listener for so many years. I challenge all deadbeats to come clean. 2 explanation points. 2, well, it gives the amount, which is very nice, is all I can do now. It's very nice of you. Fran, we appreciate that very much. Really, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We do. So... Let us take on, I don't know, are there requests? We want to talk about the Spelling Bee or the Patriot Act or the Gay Marriage Study?
How about the Spelling Bee? No. The Gay Marriage Study? No.
So I guess the Patriot us, Act.
We go with the Patriot Act.
I think the Patriot Act's very important. Don't you?
Barring last minute to expire Sunday.
Right.
Compromise.
Right.
Congressional authorization something. For the program the government uses to...
New York Times says, let it go. And I understand this. The problem here is that in protecting ourselves, right, we may protect ourselves right out of our basic liberties. That's the issue.
Well, there's always a tension between your basic liberties
and
the fear feeling of safe. Terrorist attack. And that's what I think the proponents of redoing the Patriot Act and renewing it are using. They're using fear. And it's not unfounded fear. But they don't point to specifics about what terrorist attacks were prevented because of the Patriot Act, but they suggest that things would have been much worse had they not had it. But it's kind of... fear. Politicians use fear to get a lot of things. Mm-hmm. That's how George Bush got reelected.
In a small Berkshire community north of Great Barrington, but not by much, the police chief is arguing for much increased resources, police resources. And through the rumor mill, we hear that there has been some talk of terrorism. Can you believe that?
Well, that's what people...
Your point exactly,
right,
Michael.
They want to just stir up the hysteria.
That's the best way to get it.
That's right.
We are out of time. I want to thank everyone who joined us this morning. Of course, Alan, thank you very much. We'll see you. We'll be here Monday morning.
Well, we will.
Early,
yep,
6 a.m.
Listen, everybody, get up and do it. Do it. Do it.
Mike Spain, Libby Post. We'll see you when it's all over.
Okay.
Because, when we suddenly end and then we're like, we end the fun drive at 8:30 and we're like, oh my God, we need a panel. I'll be calling you.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, okay.
You know our number.
Indeed. I know how to get a hold of you. We'll be right back after this.